the dump is hazardous to our health and very wasteful of resources.
They've already removed 56,935 pounds of hazardous trash, and they're back again for your old computers. And after attorney advice, the recall effort in Haines is targeting one less assembly member. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Tara Bicknell. That much and more up next. The corporate parent of Alaska and Horizon Airlines this week reported a 51% decline in net second quarter profit. Higher fuel and fleet costs chewed into revenue. Still, the Seattle-based airline group managed to post another healthy quarterly profit. Alaska Air Group CFO Brandon Peterson says higher fares blunted the hit to the bottom line.
We've worked hard over the last quarter or so, especially on almost on a market-by-market basis, to make sure that we're setting prices at sufficient levels so we can cover the increased cost in fuel. I feel good about what we've done so far.
Alaska Airlines says it's doing some hiring to serve increased passenger volumes. The carrier has added service to Hawaii and Mexico this year. Recall petitions for two Haines assembly members were certified Thursday, but one of the three applications from the Haines Recall Committee was denied by the borough attorney. According to a memorandum from the borough attorney and a letter from Haines borough clerk Julie Causey, the applications for recall of assembly members Joanne Waterman and Damon Hoffman partially meet the requirements in Alaska state statute. Those two petitions were certified Thursday and are available for sponsors in the recently formed committee to begin circulating. However, the application for a recall of Assemblymember Steve Vick was turned down. Haines Recall Committee is led by Jim Shook, who says the news that one petition was shot down came as a surprise, but does not stop their momentum in pursuing recalls for the other two members of the assembly.
That is apparently not up to us. It's just... someone looks at it and they don't like it, and we move on.
We start collecting signatures.
The three applications submitted by Haines Recall Committee earlier this month wrote that each assembly member failed to perform required duties in violation of Haines Borough Code by rejecting the contest of election prior to completion of an investigation. The purpose of the investigation was to clarify the residency of former Assembly CE holder Greg Goodman. The borough attorney determined that the only obligation the assembly had was to order the investigation, which they did. That reasoning disqualified Vick from the recall effort, but left Waterman and Hoffman in by one more allegation. That was that votes they cast not to fill Assembly Seat E after a superior court declared the seat vacant. They instead voted to leave it up to registered voters in a special election that's scheduled to happen the same time as the regular election on October 4th. Other assembly members also voted in this way, but are within the final 6 months of their terms, which makes them ineligible for recall, even if applications for their recall were submitted. The borough also removed wording from the applications that said, quote, "The Haines borough lost a lawsuit costing taxpayers over $34,000, end quote. The borough is distributing copies of the two petitions to the sponsors listed on the application. They have until August 12th to gather 275 signatures in person on each assembly member to get the recalls on the October ballot. Modern electronics like computers and cell phones might make your life easier, but they make trash disposal more difficult. It's only once a year when the Northern Lynn Canal has a real tasteful choice for throwing away electronics. And that time is this week.
This is a chance for people to bring in old computers, monitors, printers, television sets, cell phones, VCRs, electronic games, cords that they might have, electric cords, marine electronics, microwave ovens. And household batteries we're going to take to the AA kind of things.
Melissa Aronson is with Haines Friends of Recycling, the group that brought Haines opportunities to cut down on aluminum, plastic, and paper waste, also began looking at electronics a few years ago. They say mainly because of the harm they cause in dumps.
A lot of toxic materials, it turns out, in electronic devices. And so if they get thrown out at the dump, there's a really good chance of them leaching into the groundwater. We certainly don't want that.
But it makes dollar sense, too.
There's a lot of really important minerals in there, a lot of important elements, a lot of the rare earth elements you hear about, gold and things like that, that can be pulled out and recycled and reused for making new electronics. To put them in the dump is hazardous to our health and very wasteful of resources. So recycling makes a lot more sense.
This is the fifth year of e-cycling in Haines. By the fourth year of the program, Aronson says they were pretty much caught up and brought in a reasonable 6,000 pounds. In the program's first year, 2007, they took in 25,000 pounds of electronic waste. That was also the year the school moved.
Then in 2008, 2009, both of those years, we pulled over 12,000 pounds. Both of those years, and last year 6,000 pounds. So we're seeing a downward trend, which is good. That means the backlog is beginning to go away. But over the first 4 years, we took out 56,935 pounds of electronic waste out of this community.
That's like almost five adult elephants or a tractor truckload of stuff.
Well, the vans, those big vans that you'll see out at the recycling center, those are those big AML vans. The first year we loaded two of those. And let's see, in 2008 we loaded two of those. And 2009 we loaded two of those. And last year we loaded one. So that's a lot of electronics.
A group of volunteers, by the way, if you can help, call 766-3000. Weigh materials brought in by residents to the recycling center on Small Tracks Road. Shipping cost applies and is 40 cents a pound.
Then we have a group of volunteers that weigh it and get things stacked up on pallets, and then we use our forklift to put the pallets, once they've been wrapped, into the van, and off they go.
The material then goes to Seattle through a group called Total Reclaim, which handles all of the permits. Electronic waste recycling is Friday, July 22nd, and Saturday, July 23rd, from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Recycling Center in Haines at 2.5 mile Small Tracks Road. Skagway residents are welcome to bring electronic waste over, too.
This happens, you know, wherever people can figure out how to pull it together. We need the groups of, we need volunteers, of course. That's what keeps us going.
Electronic waste in this case does not include cars, electrical appliances, smoke detectors, or hazardous waste, but a scrap metal drive will happen later in the year through Haines Friends of Recycling. There are a lot of programs in Skagway designed for the 1 million visitors that make the town a vacation destination. But a summer lecture series is helping year-round and seasonal locals learn more about the place they call home. The Guide Series is put on by the Klondike Gold Rush National Historical Park and goes beyond the standard spiel to unearth the history, natural wonders, and issues that could even interest the sourest of sourdoughs.
I had no idea that Buffalo soldiers were up here so early, which was incredibly interesting to me.
And it's also building better guides, says Jason Verheg with Alaska Mountain Guides in Skagway. It's his fifth summer in town and his first year attending the guide series.
I also greatly enjoyed Park Rangers Jay program, which outlined the more political and social atmosphere that was taking place before the Gold Rush. I enjoyed that a lot because a lot of people, you know, they all know about the 1898 and the gold trails and all that, but not really the understanding of why it was so important.
About 25 people, locals, seasonal workers, and the occasional tourist, have been attending the weekly programs. It runs at the park's auditorium on Friday evenings with a different topic each week. So far, those subjects have covered bear-human interaction, glaciers, Soapy Smith's parlor, and edible plants, to name a few. This Friday's lecture is called Dear Clara, affectionately Mac. It's unveiling letters written out of Skagway during the Klondike Gold Rush.
You can tell that the park rangers are very passionate about each subject, and although I do love history and the history of our town, they also put on anything from dragonflies to buffalo soldiers. So it's whatever they're passionate about.
The summer lecture series brings a variety of speakers from within the park and from neighboring organizations. They work to keep the information interesting and relevant. And it also might help dispel any guide misknowledge that sometimes gets passed around.
That is by far one of the largest things I struggle with every year. One guide says something in front of a group of guides, and then they all take it for law. You're constantly battling false information. But these guide series, it is nice. We encourage our people to go to them as often as possible because it's a good way to kind of make sure your facts are right.
Amanda McCutcheon with the National Park Service says it's a great way to continue learning about the natural and cultural resources in the region. They're also hoping that passing on these stories to the people who live here will enrich the visitors' experience, too.
It's fun because it keeps things fresh in your mind. So when you're trying to just kind of, you know, fill a few minutes of silence with people, you have a subject fresh in your head that you can bring up and tell them, you know, I just learned this. They love hearing that you also are learning about the same stuff they're interested in.
The next program in the free guide series runs on July 22nd, 6 to 7 p.m. at the National Park Service Visitors Center Auditorium at 2nd and Broadway. It's called Dear Clara, Affectionately Mac, and is about letters written during the Gold Rush.
For someone who comes up to Skagway, there's lots of opportunities. They can do the streetcar tour or anything like that and get a lot of history. But these guide series are much more in-depth and focus on something much more than just a quick tidbit. So it's a great way to really understand something in-depth.
This is Tara Bicknell for KHNS News.